we found one principle overrides all of patients' decisions, which is convenience. It's amazing how much convenience outweighs even quality care in some regards.
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We're here today with John Lin, the founder of Healthcare IT Today and Healthcare Marketing Community. He's also the host of the CIO podcast, Healthcare IT Today podcast, and Health IT Interviews podcast. John, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, it's great to be on the show, Jordan.
So I think where we're going to start is a discussion about digital front doors. We typically talk about emerging trends across the industry. You're well positioned speaking with some of the nation's leading CIOs in the healthcare space. What I'd like to ask you is, what are you hearing about digital front doors, convenient patient experiences, especially now that patients are experiencing in different industry sectors, for instance, same-day delivery from Amazon, transparency and accountability? What are you seeing when in the healthcare space with digital front doors?
Yeah, so I think we've seen the industry kind of be forced to transform. And there's a number of pressures that are happening right now that didn't happen before. And so as I look at it, I see that the healthcare organizations, for in many regards, kind of took the patients for granted. They had either monopolies or, you know, patients would just go to their insurance company and go to that organization to get their care. But as we've seen increase in high deductible plans, patients now are choosing where do they want to go to get their care. Plus, we're seeing an increase in information. Everyone can Google anything to find out about an organization, about a doctor, about whatever they want to do for their care. They can understand what's the quality of that person using various quality scores, or what's the customer service of this organization. And so that easy access to information is making it so patients have more choice, and they're making different choices in their care versus before, which was, oh, it's the closest one, so I want to go there, you know, or hey, it's on my insurance, so I can go there, right? And so I think we're seeing the patient being more proactive in who they're choosing to get care from, and now we actually have more options available to them in as they choose their care. So those dynamics are forcing healthcare organizations, along with this increase of consumer direct to consumer care from the Amazon One Medical acquisition, or from, you know, telehealth, or even from CVS and retail health, you know, Walmart, et cetera, all getting into the healthcare as well. All of those pressures are forcing healthcare organizations to say, hey, we now have to transform how we're interacting with patients. We can't take them for granted anymore and say, oh, it's fine if they wait for an hour in the waiting room and then they wait for another hour in the exam room. And then they're like, wow, this was the worst experience I've had ever. And so like they now have to say, no, we need to embrace things like online self-check-in, you know, informing the patient of where they're at in the process and how long they're going to have to wait. You know, I love to say that the DMV figured that out and can tell you when you're where you're at in line and how many more are ahead of you. Like, why can't healthcare if the DMV can do it? And so I think that's what we're seeing, is this kind of embrace of digital transformation on the front door and the waiting room experience, the check-in experience, et cetera, that before we weren't seeing because they just didn't have to.
So you mentioned patient satisfaction and evaluating kind of where they want to go and how they want to receive their care. That said, there have been HEDIS patient satisfaction scores for decades that have been at least available to providers. How would you say patients are, how would you say patient satisfaction is being evaluated differently and how that's affecting healthcare today?
So here's the problem. I'm not sure we can evaluate the quality of a provider. I'm not convinced that we can, and I haven't seen that. But because if we could, every patient would do that. Oh, this is the person who's going to give me the best outcome. Let's go there, right? I mean, that, sure, there's some other dynamics. Can you afford it? Can you get there, et cetera? But for most of us, we would say, oh, we're going to go to the person who has the best quality scores. And so unfortunately, I haven't seen anyone that's been able to really assess quality property. Yeah, there's HEDIS scores. There's some, you know, there's some outcomes things, but none of them really focus fully on how good is the quality of what you're providing. And so instead we use these kind of like faux scores that we could kind of think might be quality. For example, we might say, do I want to go to the doctor who has done 5 of these surgeries, or do I want to go to the doctor who's done 5,000 of these surgeries? And so it's kind of a fake representation of what the quality is, because I assume someone that's done 5,000 is going to have a higher quality than someone who's done 5. And that probably plays out pretty well because you've had the experience of good and bad and that you've learned from those experiences. And so we have these faux scores like that to understand what the quality is. The other one that I think actually patients use more than anything, because it's the only thing that a patient truly can evaluate in a office visit or for a visit to a hospital, and that is, what was the customer service that was provided to me? What was the patient experience like to me? So if you go to any of the ratings and review sites for it, including Google, who is actually the behemoth of all of this, if you look at any ratings or reviews there, HealthGrade, ZocDoc, et cetera, right? If you go to those, all that patients are really evaluating is, what was the patient experience like? Did the doctor have good bedside manner? Did I enjoy the front desk experience? What was the payment like experience like? And so that's what they're evaluating. But what's interesting is most patients aren't sophisticated enough to realize that, oh, the health grade that you got on it, right, or the rating you received on Google really relates to your customer service experience versus your quality experience. And so in their mind, they may look at it and say, oh, they're the highest rated, they must be a great doctor, when they don't understand that really what that rating is saying is, either, you know, it could be two things actually. They're a great doctor that provides great customer experience. Who knows what their quality is like? Or it could be, oh, they're really good at gaming the ratings and review site, which is a kind of topic for another day.
So it sounds like quality of information is something that's difficult to discern for patients. And it's also difficult to evaluate quality and then tie the connection between a quality metric, for instance, that's used by CMS and an outpatient prospective payment system or some sort of national quality forum quality metric, and what patients are actually looking at. How are healthcare organizations responding to patient demands, and how are they correlating how they're paid to improve quality with what patients are actually requesting and demanding in terms of the quality of care?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge, right? Because if you have an MD after your name, you have a certain expectation of quality. And that doesn't matter if you got a C in med school or you got an A or, you know, whatever else it might be. And so I think we all have a challenging time understanding what's the quality that's being provided. For example, hey, here's how I evaluate quality. I got better. And you're like, okay, wait, is that true though, right? Maybe it took you 7 days to get better and you should have gotten better in 2 days. So it's just really hard for a patient to be able to do it. Even doctors in different specialties often can't evaluate the quality of another doctor in another specialty because they don't know what the standards are. So how are organizations reacting to this? I mean, the reality is they have to do it because of things like readmissions. So they have penalties around readmissions. So every health system understands that and trying to prevent readmissions. And so they're working on things like that. But I don't think they worry about the quality on that side. I think it's more about, what is our brand? What do patients think of us? Do they see us as a high quality organization? And so I think they look at it more from a brand perspective, and how are we, you know, sharing this brand with our patients so that they have an expectation of quality, that they understand that we do care about the patients. And to be fair, most healthcare organizations do that. They really do care about their patients, and they want to do what's best for their patients. So, yeah, it's pretty rare that someone's just trying to, you know, do something avant-garde that isn't, you know, really at the best interest of patients. But I'd say the biggest challenge they face is that the operational minutiae, the regulations, the reimbursement requirements make it hard for a healthcare organization to show that they really care about the patient. And so to me, this is actually where technology is really interesting, is can you use technology to make the experience better for the patient and the healthcare provider staff and the clinical staff? And I think that's what is possible now with things like automation, applying AI to automate some of the front desk experience. Why does a front desk need to be there to check the patient in, right? Like, in a lot of ways, that's not necessary. And we've seen that in a lot of organizations, that you can automate a lot of those processes, which creates a great patient experience and a great front desk experience, which then, of course, if you, the patient's going back much happier because they got checked in quickly, they had a great front end experience, well, now they're not taking it out on the nurse that's taking it out. And then the nurse doesn't get burnt out because the patient had a frustrating check-in experience, which then the doctor has to take the brunt of all that frustration.
So we're talking about digital front doors. First of all, how would you define what a digital front door is?
Yeah, it's a good question. And there's a lot of definitions out there. And so I think, you know, it's a really good question in that regard. And so some people look at it as, how am I even going to find care? So that's like the broadest interpretation, is how do I know where I'm going to go for care? And who's going to make that decision? In fact, we're seeing a whole series of companies that are kind of being called care navigators or something along those lines, that basically are saying, should I go to the ED? Should I go to telehealth? Should I go to my primary care doctor? Should I go directly to a specialist? Should I go to urgent care? Should I go to convenient care? Should I go to retail care? Should I go to, like, the options are so amazing right now, to be fair. Like, that's actually cool that we have this many options. But as a consumer, it's really confusing. So that could be considered the digital front door. Hey, I've got a fever and I've got this symptom. Where should I go? So that's one definition that we see happening, is, oh, how am I going to determine where I should go for care? And how am I, that's that digital front door. That, you know, help me understand what my symptoms are, what I'm experiencing, and where should I go for care? The other digital front door is more what I talked about previously, which is, how am I going to go from, I have an appointment or I have a surgery scheduled or whatever it might be, and how am I going to start interacting with that, you know, the doctor through the check-in process, through, you know, the waiting room, through, you know, even all the way down to the payment experience on the back end as well. And what does that front door look like? And then, you know, which interestingly enough, the front door becomes the back door as you start collecting payments as well. So I think that's the other experience we're dealing with and changing, which is, how do I register? How do I get checked in? How do I schedule an appointment, et cetera? Those are all big elements of that digital front door.
So with the proliferation of different care options, I guess the question is, are you actually, is it all leading to more informed choice for the patient? And in that respect, I'd like to ask, how would you compare the goals of patients compared to healthcare organizations?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard question, because you're right. That, I mean, the extra options are great, but it is challenging for patients because they don't know where to go and they don't know what to do. And so we found one principle overrides all of patients' decisions, which is convenience. It's amazing how much convenience outweighs even quality care in some regards, right? It's more convenient, and we can rationalize in our head, well, they both have an MD, so that it's probably about as good, right? Like, I can't assess quality, so I can assess, is it convenient? And so that's, to me, the biggest driver of patients today. And it's probably coming from these other situations that we have in retail, in Amazon, in Uber, in, you know, like Uber Eats, et cetera, right? Like, all of these things are become so convenient. We're saying we want that in healthcare as well. So that's the mindset of the patient. What's the mindset of the provider? Well, it really, really, really depends. If they have a monopoly, they may not care about convenience. They may still be taking the patient for granted. And, you know, if you have a 3-month waiting list for patients to get in to see you because you're a specialist and you're in such high demand, do you care about convenience? Maybe, right? Like maybe you do, but like you got a 3-month waiting list. You're not really driven to provide convenience. So there is a disconnect, right? For many organizations where they don't understand how important convenience is to a patient, and they maybe don't have the need to drive to that convenience. That said, we're seeing a lot of organizations that are waking up to this fact that, hey, we need to provide a convenient quality patient experience. And that if I don't, that's going to catch up with me eventually. And especially as you look at like the shift to value-based care, if I don't have a relationship with the patient where they trust me, then can I do value-based care? I think that's an important question that many healthcare organizations are asking themselves and saying that starts with things like the digital front door and providing the convenient experience so they know, hey, we do care about you as a patient. Because otherwise, if I provide a terrible experience to you and then I come to you and say, hey, you should do this, I'm going to be a little skeptical that you're doing what's in my best interest rather than what's in your best interest.
So I guess if we are digital front doors making the patient experience more convenient, and is it our digital front doors bringing more patients in the door?
Yeah, I think it is for most organizations, right? I mean, sure, it's like an EHR. EHRs are great when implemented properly. When implemented poorly, they can be awful, right? Like it can create an awful experience for someone. So the same is true with the digital front door. Are you, if you do it in the right way and you do the communication and the marketing that's required, which is an interesting thing. I don't think most healthcare organizations see themselves as marketing organizations, but they need to start embracing the marketing mindset to patients to create these experiences, right? If you do it right with the right marketing and the right education that's needed for a patient to embrace these concepts, then yeah, it can, you know, be an amazing experience for patients, and it can, you know, drive them to come for even other visits like wellness visits or follow-up visits. You know, you can use this new digital front door as a way to drive behaviors that are going to benefit the patient and the organization. So I think it goes down to how are you implementing it? You know, if you implement it poorly, it's just going to confuse patients and you're going to get more phone calls. But if you do it well with an organization that understands the nuances of what's required to check in a patient or what's required to navigate a patient between urgent care, primary care, specialist, and, you know, or even the ED, right? Like then you can create this beautiful experience. But if you do it halfway, if you do it poorly, then it could be a terrible experience. So it all goes down to the, you know, brass tacks of how did you implement it?
So, John, as we approach the end of this podcast, I'd like to invite you to add some final thoughts about how our listeners, CIOs, and the thought leaders in the health IT space across the United States, if they're thinking about implementing a digital door, if they've already implemented it, but they're looking to get more patient engagement, what are some of the final lessons and takeaways you think they should be aware of when they're thinking about how to create a more convenient experience and a better patient experience in general at their organization?
Yeah, I think the key is to think about this really broadly. Unfortunately, in tech, we like point solutions because they're a project and we can implement that project. You know, let's get rid of the clipboard in the exam room, right? Like that feels like a cool project. Let's do digital check-in and include that, and let's get rid of that clipboard that no one wants to fill out. Let them fill it out at home. That feels like a project to me, right? And I think that's the wrong mindset. Like that might be part of a bigger overall strategic plan, is being able to replace the clipboard. And that might be an element that happens within a bigger vision of what you're trying to accomplish. But if you approach it from a project standpoint, then you're going to receive results that are just congruent with that project. Whereas if you think about it more holistically and saying, what should the digital, you know, front door really look like, and listen to patients, ask patients, what do they want to experience? What should this be? Then you're going to see a lot of other opportunities that present themselves. For example, when I replace that clipboard, what am I going to do to, or how could I leverage that new connection that I created with the patient and that new opportunity to engage them? What could I have them do? Could I have them sign up for a CCM program? Could I have them sign up for, you know, something else, or, you know, or even educate them about something that's important for them while they're doing the sign up process, or while they're in the waiting room, you know, being, you know, educated that, hey, you're third in line in the waiting room. And, you know, now you, guess what? You have a captive audience where you could educate them. You could engage them in something that would be useful to your organization and benefit the patient. So to me, it's like, open your gaze and stop working on projects and think more holistically about, okay, this is an opportunity to really engage the patient. How can I, sure, replace the clipboard and, you know, make that a more efficient process for everyone, but also capitalize on the opportunity that I have an engaged patient with me?
Okay, well, that's been a conversation on the biggest driver of patients today is convenience. And the best way, one of the best ways to offer convenience to patients is through a digital front door. I'd like to thank John for joining us today. Again, John is the founder of Healthcare IT Today and Healthcare Marketing Community, and is also the host of three podcasts, the CIO Podcast, Healthcare IT Today Podcast, and Health IT Interviews Podcast. John, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jordan. It was a lot of fun.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.